what is your it? And is your it something that you know, or possibly something that you still need to discover?
Well, thanks, Jess. Those are both great questions, and not to be trite, but it's both that way. There's some people that are very clear about their it, in other words, what they want to go for, what they want to accomplish, and then there are others that are not so clear about it either. And there are a lot of reasons why. A couple of quick examples. One is either they've been told what they should do and go for, but that's out of alignment with who they are, or they've never taken the time to invest in themselves, you know, to determine it. So basically, I use go for your it to define what is a goal that you're working on? What is an objective? What is, you're here, so where do you want to go? You know, what is the it you want to accomplish? And it's unique to every person and organization.
Mm-hmm. And so your it is something that's going to change through time as you progress. You'll have different its.
Oh, absolutely. I use myself as an example. I am a self-proclaimed, unplanned entrepreneur. My it in going to college was to be an athletic coach. That was my kind of lifelong dream. And that has evolved through the years of my professional life. My core has remained the same. I'm a teacher and I'm a coach. That's my innate wiring. So I did that for 5 years in two small colleges. I was a teacher at two small colleges and an athletic coach, women's basketball and softball. And then a transition into the corporate world that I thought would be a temporary transition that ended up to be very extensive. However, I was still teaching and coaching and organizing. I was engaging my gifts and skills. That's another part of your it. How are you engaging your gifts and your skills? Because that's where your passion comes out of. When that became clear that that was changing, then I said, well, I'll start my own business. So the core of who I am has not changed, but how I connect my gifts and skills and engage my passion, the it has changed in the environments through the years.
I like that, engaging your skills and your passions and your gifts. I've been in different jobs and noticed that I find, even though they're radically different jobs, I find happiness in them when I'm doing the same things I was doing in a different type of, like I like teaching and learning as well. And so when I'm doing those in that outlet, I'm much happier and much more successful.
Exactly. And that means that you, in that setting, in that context, you're really aligned with who Jess is.
I like that.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. So if we don't know what our it is right now, what are some tips that you would suggest to go about discovering that?
Other than hiring a professional coach and working with the coach to get you through that, there are three things that I can recommend. One is take time, and it doesn't have to be an inordinate amount of time. That's our culture now. You hear the word time, and I don't have time, I don't have time. Block an intentional amount of time. It could be 30 minutes where you have no distractions, you have nothing, and think through everything that you can think of that you enjoy doing, either personal, you know, your personal life or your business life. And just write or draw, you know, depending on what you are. And then take those items. The second thing is take a look at the list and identify the top, say, 10. I don't, you know, depending on how many you have on your list. But in other words, you're beginning to narrow the focus that really rise to the top of your enjoyment and your contentment and fulfillment. And the third step is then look at the top three of those that really there's no question, it energizes you, it's not hard, you can stay invested in that particular area for whatever it takes and just feel, this is great, you know, that sort of thing. And then the fourth step, once you've done that, then where are you in life? Are you connected? where those three can show up, or are you not? And that will give you just an informal way to kind of identify the core, your core system. Of course, there are formal assessments, you know, that anybody can do, and there's a ton of them. So it would depend on kind of what you're looking for. And then talk with a trusted colleague or a mentor. And this is a way of getting some informal feedback from them. Have them, what do they see in you? When do they see you the most successful, the most effective? I use the word effective because success has so many different meanings to people. When are you the most effective? When are you the most content? When are you the most fulfilled? And then put all that data together and see what you come up with.
I like that. Yeah. A little side story, because it's oddly applicable here. When I started this business, the way that I started this business was to make two lists. And one of them was all the things that I like to do, like you're saying. And I wrote down everything. I wrote down, I like to play with dogs. I wrote down everything I could think of, you know?
Yes.
And then in the other list, I wrote down things I'm good at.
Yes.
And then kind of drew from the two of them to see, because there are some things that I like that I am not very good at in a business capacity. They're purely for fun.
Yes.
But that was, that experiment was what led me to start this business and helped me draw out those skills. So, yeah.
You gave yourself permission and you made a choice to take time to think about who Jess is.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is so valuable and so underestimated.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is for as many different reasons as there are people.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. Matters. Yeah. Absolutely. That's great. So you mentioned already a couple great questions to kind of ask yourself to examine your it. And in my experience and in the time that I've known you, I have known you to be a master question asker. You're very curious. You ask a lot of great questions. And I think that asking yourself questions is a really powerful thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you have up your sleeve a lot of great questions around this topic of your it that we can ask ourselves. Can you tell us some more of them that you have in your mind?
Sure. I want to say one kind of side note first.
Uh-huh.
Anybody can learn to ask powerful questions. It starts with listening. And I have been told that listening is one of my strong skills, and I value that. And listening is a skill that anybody can improve. And I'm not talking listening, just hearing the words, you know, the auditory process. It's listening, it's staying focused, it's being in the present. It's not thinking, okay, well, what is she saying and what answer am I going to have to come up with? It's really focusing and giving that person your undivided attention. When you do that, even people who aren't naturally curious, they can develop a curiosity. You know, we had a conversation before we started this interview, and because it just, that's, I'm just naturally curious. I want to know the story. But the questions that I would recommend people around the it is, one is, what is the story that you are telling yourself? People, we all tell ourselves stories all the time, and typically they're based on replays of what happened yesterday, which is based on replays of the day before, you know, it just continues to evolve that way. Mm-hmm. The second question that I would offer is, what's it costing you not to go for your it, you know, or to take the next step? Mm-hmm. Another question that I would offer in trying to discover your it is, when you give yourself that time and you start giving yourself rationale and excuses and, oh, I can't do this or whatever, then think about this. What's underneath that statement? Now, that's a little bit similar to what is the story you're telling yourself, but that's being able to go one level below. What's mm-hmm. underneath that statement? Well, then you answer that, and then what's underneath that statement? A colleague has said, is asking the five level of why. Well, why is that important? well, why do you want to do that? You just keep drilling down. It's kind of like the old peeling back the onion, you know, mm-hmm. the layers of the onion, until you get at the root of what's really driving what has manifested up on the surface. Mm-hmm. And the last question, and I use this a lot with my clients when I've worked with them for a while, I try not to use it early on. Just say, well, how's that working for you?
Like,
you know, I had them years ago. I had a friend of mine. She was so excited. She said, oh, Jane, I finally bought a treadmill. And there's a whole backstory, but I won't take the time to go. I said, great. And then I saw her 6 months later and she said, Jane, I finally learned how to turn it on. And I said, how's that working for you? She said, well, it's not yet. So just a little lighthearted way that we have to check in with ourselves. Well, how's that working for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't take the time to check in a lot of the time. And so I think putting these questions in always at any stage, even when you know what your it is a very helpful check-in and a necessary check-in for yes. moving forward. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Those are really good questions. So once we have identified our it, the process of achieving it can sometimes feel a little bit overwhelming. Sometimes we have very big its. How does living life by the slice, which is something that you've said, play into this idea of achieving your it?
One of the most common mistakes that people make, going for their it, starting a new job, starting a new eating plan, exercise, whatever, is trying to jump in the deep end and do everything all at one time. Mm-hmm. That's where the overwhelming factor, you know, comes in often. Now, that's a simplistic way of somewhat generalized, but you get the point of what mm-hmm. I'm trying to say. For a person not to get overwhelmed, it's a conscious choice to give themselves permission to invest in the process. Process in the nature of the word implies time. A process is not, there are going to be some processes, yes. If you're baking a cake, you have that process of putting all the ingredients together. You will see the end product quicker than you will if you're trying to make a sustainable shift in business. Okay, just to kind of give those two pictures. But choose to invest in the time, choose to invest your time in the process, and that means one slice of time. Whatever that slice is to you, and you know, Jess, the slice is based on a loaf of bread, you know, a slice of bread that we can get quick energy sometime with a slice or comfort food, that sort of thing. And be in that moment. When you choose to live life by the slice, you're in that moment. And I don't mean literally 60 seconds, but in that setting where you are, in that context, you know, of where you are. And think about, where am I? What are the information points that I can learn, you know, from this moment? And what can I pull out of this time in this life by the slice that will help me move forward toward my it? Mm-hmm. So here's a quick example. I had a client recently who had left corporate, not on her own terms, but she was in that in between, trying to decide, does she look for another corporate job or does she start her own business? So either one of those implied process, because it's very difficult nowadays in some industries to get an interview, you know, that to get through all the algorithms. But anyway, mm-hmm. So we worked out a plan for her to clarify her it. Come to find out, she was applying for all the wrong jobs because they were out of line with who she was and what she wanted to do, because she thought she should go back into corporate. Mm-hmm. So once we took the time to uncover that, she clearly saw corporate was not where she wanted to be. She wanted to start her own business, but it required certain steps. So then we begin to work through those steps. One being, okay, find a part-time job, help you pay the bills till you get these other, you know, pieces going. But she chose to invest the time in that. That's the point of that illustration. Mm-hmm. Had she not, she would either still be floundering or frustrated or in a corporate job that she was totally unhappy and stressed out about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me just summarize. Living life by the slice is choosing to be in the moment where you are and choosing to give yourself time to work the process.
Great. Yeah. So then a bigger summary then of everything we've kind of talked about is that our first step is to give us some time to sit and think about ourselves, to think about our it, to think about our strengths and to carve out that space.
Yes.
And then we're moving forward into having our it and breaking it into small actionable steps so we can take it by the slice and we can sit with that moment, sit with each of our accomplishments and learn from them and see them as valuable instead of focusing, oh, I'm not up to my big it yet. Yes. You're getting a little bit closer with each step of the way.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. And I mean, I love sports, but football is my favorite spectator sport to watch and college basketball. But while we're in football season, think of a football field. A team, their goal is to get across the goal line and score. But they have to go the full length of the field. It's no different if they get 1 yard at a time and methodically march down the field and go across the goal line. It's still 6 points. Mm-hmm. Now, occasionally, yes, they have the good play. They have the, you know, that gets them a lot more yards. It's still an intentional, methodical process. They have to go the entire 100 yards to score a touchdown or to score a field goal. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is living life by the slice.
Yeah.
It's just being intentional to define your increments and then work them.
Mm-hmm. And I might argue, not always, but sometimes the running one really long run and getting a touchdown immediately can end up being a little more painful in the long run than the yard at a time, because in that yard at a time, I feel like it changes shape a little bit. You get a little more perspective, a little more wisdom.
Yeah.
And I'm really valuable. I really value those 1 yard at a time plays a lot of the time. So,
well, and that's a good point, Jess, because every experience and opportunity that we have in life, those are really our 1 yards at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And they will, those are things that we will build on and draw upon sometimes that we even forget about until we're in a different setting.
Mm-hmm.
You are where you are today is a different place than where you were 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yet what you had learned and gleaned 5 years ago, you've just built upon. You know, had I left college, graduated from college, and my goal was to be an entrepreneur, I would not have the vast wealth of experience and knowledge and training that I had when I started my business 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So everything builds. Like that 1 yard at a time down the field.
Absolutely.
And so don't undervalue that, I guess is what I'm saying. Don't undervalue that.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, are there any other tips you want to throw out for people seeking their it, people hoping to discover it, or people pursuing it to kind of draw this all together?
I would say acknowledge that you're worth it. You're valuable. You're worth it. You have your own it factor to bring to a sphere of influence that only you can bring. And be clear about that. Stand on that. Embrace it. Be confident about it. And then you'll be a greater influence to those around you.